Well, we are continuing our sermon series today, and we are finishing up the seven words from the cross. Today is Palm Sunday, as Phil reminded us. And today I want us to see, I put an insert in your bulletin here, and you'll notice that the seven words from the cross, I'm just reviewing it here this morning. The first word from the cross is forgiveness. Jesus said, "Forgive them, for they know not what they do." The second word from the cross, "Today you will be with me in paradise," to the thief on the cross next to him. The third word from the cross, Jesus said to Mary, "Woman, behold your son," and he said to John, "Behold your mother." And the fourth word from the cross, conquest. And Jesus cried out, my God, why have you forsaken me?" The fifth word from the cross, championship, which is I thirst. And the sixth word from the cross, completion, when Jesus said, "It is finished." And so today we're going to look at the seventh word from the cross, which is committal. And Jesus said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." You know, we don't always often get to know what our last words are going to be here in our earthly life. I suppose if we did, we might choose them well, but we don't always get to. And oftentimes many people in the last hours or minutes of their death want to let their family members know, or a spouse to know, that "I love you," or "I love them," or "tell them that I love them." But everyone doesn't always have that opportunity. But there are some interesting words spoken from other people. The last words on their final minutes or final hours of their lives. Woodrow Wilson, U.S. President, 1924, said, "I am ready." P.T. Barnum, the famed Barnum and Bailey Circus, said, "How are the receipts today at Madison Square Garden?" were his last words. Beethoven's last words were, "Friends, applaud, the comedy is finished." Winston Churchill, the Prime Minister of England during the Second World War, said, "I am bored with it all." Grover Cleveland, our U.S. President in 1908, said, "I've tried so hard to do the right." Nathan Hale, the American hero during the American Revolution, was shot by the British as a spy, and Nathan Hale said, "I regret that I have but one life to lose for my country." Benjamin Franklin said, "A dying man can do nothing easy." And George Washington, our first president here in the United States, in 1799, his last words were, "I die hard, but am not afraid to go." It is in not so much importantly that our last words, but in how we live our life that matters most. Christ's death on the cross produced a deposit for us. So today we're going to see two things about the deposit that he has given us. We need to ask ourselves, do we trust where we have placed our deposit? And what freedom do you have in life knowing where your deposit is safe that Christ gives us? Christ faced the choice, save himself or save the world. And so we have a choice today. While his choice saves us, his choice forces us to make a decision. So if you have a copy of God's Word, I invite you to turn to the Gospel of Luke today, chapter 23. Luke 23. The seventh word, Christ on the cross, is committal. Luke 23, verse 46. "Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, 'Father, into your hands I commit my spirit.' And having said this, he breathed his last." We see an interesting glimpse from the Gospel of Luke. Luke gives us very much a picture of the humanity of Jesus. John's gospel is the divinity, that Jesus is God. Mark's is Jesus is the suffering servant. And Matthew's gospel is Jesus is the Messiah. But in Luke's gospel, we see the humanity of Christ. And when Luke writes, Dr. Luke, when he writes this particular thing here under the power of the Holy Spirit, he said there in the last part of verse 46, he breathed his last. You see, the early church in the first four centuries, there were many people that were heretics, and they were saying that, well, Jesus really wasn't a man, and so he couldn't have died on the cross. And so Luke makes that very clear to us that Jesus, while fully God, was fully man. And on the cross, he died also a physical death. The work has been finished. Jesus has done everything in his earthly ministry as the prophet, as the priest, and as the king. You know, you can't have a kingdom unless you have a king. Jesus was the king and is the king. He prophesied and he preached to those, and he preached unto his own, but his own wouldn't receive him. And on the cross, on those final 3 hours, where he took all the sins of the world, he was our sacrifice. He was both sacrificed and priest. Jesus on the cross paid the price for us. He became sin who knew no sin, so that we might become the righteousness of God. And so now the work has been finished. There's no more work for Jesus to do. And he has done the work for us. It is finished. And so now Jesus is giving back to the Father the work that he has been entrusted to. And so the first thing I want us to look at today is that while the Father gave Jesus everything, we are given everything in Christ. Jesus himself said, "The Father loves the Son and has given all things into his hand." John 3:35. And in Matthew 11:27, Jesus said, "All things have been handed over to me by my Father." Everything had been given to Christ. His ministry, his purpose, his kingdom, himself as a sacrifice, the prophecy that was fulfilled. The Father had given everything to Christ. And now all that work has been done. It is finished. He finished the work and he finished it for us. And now he gives it back and entrusts it to the care of the Father. And because of that, we have everything in Christ. Hebrews 12:2 says, "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith." Jesus had done the work, and now he has committed it back to the Father. He has been entrusted with this, and now he now wants to give it back to the Father to be entrusted to him. Since the Father had delivered everything into Jesus' care for his saving ministry, Jesus now returns to the Father. So that everything that the Father has entrusted to Jesus, he is now entrusting back to the Father. Just as the executioners had delivered Jesus for his death, Jesus is now delivering up his spirit to the Father. And this could not be done until his work was finished. You know, if we're going to give up something, we better know where it's going. He says, commit. And look at the text here, if you will, with me. Jesus says, "Father, into your hands." Jesus had already been given everything into his hand. And now he says, "Father, I give it back to you, to entrust to you." The redemption of man and the work that he had given him, the reconciliation that he had given all of us from his work on the cross, is being entrusted. And so he gives us a picture of a deposit. The Greek word there, commit, actually means to entrust something. It's almost as if a deposit. You know, if you make money, if you put it in a bank, you want to know that it's safe, right? Why? Because you want it when you want it. You want to know it's safe so that you have the freedom to enjoy it. It's kind of like a place that you want to know is safe, that is safekeeping. Maybe it's your money, maybe it's your car keys, maybe it's the keys to your house, maybe it's your life. But you want to know where it is, and you want to know that it's safe for safekeeping. Jesus had committed his spirit back to the Father in safekeeping for the reconciliation and the redemption of man, to entrust the Father and the Holy Spirit. Why? There's nowhere else for Christ to do. He's done it all. There's nothing for him to hang around for. He's done it. He's paid it. His work, as he said himself, is finished. And so now he's giving it back to the Father. It is finished. In other words, his work has been completed. He had received the assignment. Now the matter rests with God and the Father. You see, commit is a deposit. It is almost like setting something before you, as if you're setting something on a table like food or teaching. You're setting it before someone for a purpose. And so he gives this redemption and reconciliation back to the Father. So his redemptive work is safe. It is his commitment. Look with me, if you will, for a moment in the book of Romans, chapter 5. I want us to see something here. Romans chapter 5. Verse 10 and 11. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. We have received this now. And so his redemptive work is safe. It is placed as a deposit with the Father in safekeeping for us. Because one day, Christ is coming back. And he's coming back for his church and to judge righteously. And until that time, everything that has been done by him must be kept safe with the Father. And that is the work from his commitment on the cross when he says, Father, I commit my spirit to you. Jesus lived well. He died well. There was a pastor who was standing by the bedside of his wife with his children. And his wife was in the throes of her death. And he turned to his children and he said, Mother has taught us to live well. Now she will teach us to die well. That is the work of the cross that Jesus does to die well. As much as we want to live well, we must die well. Father Damien was a Catholic priest, and he went to the island of Molokai to minister to the people there that were lepers. He went to those that no one would go to. And for many years, he fed them. He ministered to them, changing their bandages, clothing them, feeding them. Oftentimes, he would eat out of the same bowl with them. And he prayed with them oftentimes. And he said, you lepers. And years went on and years went on. He kept saying prayers for them, interceding for them to the Father as you lepers. And pretty soon his prayer changed to we lepers. Father Damien died well because he died a leper. You see, it wasn't about him living well. It was about him dying well. And that's what we see here from an illustration. And this is what we see from the cross. Jesus' committal is validated also by his finished work on the cross. We must die well. There was, in the former Soviet Union, there was some KGB soldiers one time that went to this small house church. And at this point, religion was strictly forbidden in the former Soviet Union. So there was a small house church in the Soviet Union, and in this house church, people went to worship at different times of the day. So instead of it looking like a big group, it wouldn't be marked as a church. So it would be disguised as a church. And so one day there were people coming and going into this small church and worshiping, and these two KGB soldiers went into this church with guns loaded and terrifying the people. And they said, put your hands up. And they said, if anyone wants to renounce their faith in Jesus Christ, you can leave now. And about that point, a couple people went out the front door. A few moments later, some people slipped out the back, with children huddled next to their parents, worried that this would be their final moments and they would be approaching death. One of the other soldiers closed the door and locked it and said, keep your hands up, but in this time to praise to our Lord Jesus Christ. You see, a few weeks ago, these soldiers had gone to another church and heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, and they were converted. But what they told that congregation, they said, unless you're willing to die for Christ, you're not willing to live for Christ. And so we must learn to die well as live well. The third thing I want us to see today is Jesus' committal is validated by his finished work on the cross. It's like a report card. It's like an accounting spreadsheet. In the early church in the book of Acts, Luke also wrote about this in Acts 14:23. He said, and when they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting, they committed them to the Lord in whom they believed. Acts 20:28, pay careful attention to yourselves and to all the flock in which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to care for the church of God, which he obtained with his own blood. That's the report card. That's the accounting, that Jesus' committal is validated by his finished work. And so it is his death that we learn to die well, to live well. We don't think about dying. We don't want to think about dying. I don't want to think about dying. But Christ knew that every one of his words would be hung on. Every single word he spoke would be heard for all eternity. And he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. He had done everything. Those who sentenced Christ to death didn't realize they sentenced him to glory, where he actually would be safe in the Father's hands. That is dying well. They thought they were sentencing him to his death. They were sentencing him to his glory. Jesus promises that he is going to return to claim the church. And if he could commit his spirit to the Father, can we commit our lives to him? May I ask you today, can you die well for Christ? Since Christ was faithful in all things, redeeming us to God, he now places himself at the right hand of the Father, waiting expectantly until his enemies are at his footstool. In other words, we then are commissioned to do his work. We then are commissioned to die well. To die well. George MacLeod, a Scottish soldier and clergyman of the early 20th century, served in World War I. And after he got out, he became a clergyman. In response, when Jesus said, when I am lifted up from earth, will draw all men to myself. In other words, when others recognize that it is in death that you'll find life in Christ, all men will be drawn unto him. George MacLeod said, I simply argued that the cross be raised again at the center of the marketplace, as well as on the steeple of the church. I am recovering the claim that Jesus was not crucified in a cathedral between two candles, but on a cross between two thieves, on a town garbage dump. At the crossroad of politics, so cosmopolitan that they had to write his title in Hebrew and in Greek and in Latin. And at the kind of place where the cynics talk smack and thieves curse and soldiers gamble, because that is where he died, and that is what he died about. And that is where Christ ought to be. And that is what church people ought to be about. I submit to you that the cross be lifted up again. And is it in dying for us? Are you willing to live a messy, inconvenient death for Christ? Are you willing to live a messy, inconvenient death and giving up yourself to Christ? And I don't know what that picture might be. It might be in your marketplace and standing up for Christ. It might be at a restaurant saying a prayer. It might be helping the homeless or those that are poor. It might be an inconvenience of mercy of visiting somebody in a hospital. Are you willing to die to self in order to have real life? That the cross might be also lifted up. Because that is where we ought to be. That is what Christ died about. And that is what the church is to be about. You know, in John Ortberg's book, God is Closer Than You Think, he describes the acronym DTR. DTR, some of you may or may not know that. Some of the millennials might know that. DTR is an acronym which means define the relationship. Define the relationship comes up oftentimes between a man and a woman when there's a romantic overtone. Define the relationship. Ladies, you know what I'm talking about? Guys, you know what I'm talking about? Guys, don't answer. It generally gets used in relationships between a man and a woman who have romantic overtones but are kind of squeamish about the permanence and the exclusivity of that relationship. And so there comes a point in the relationship where there needs to be a little DTR. Define the relationship. In other words, are we in this relationship for laughs or for convenience? Or are we in it for keeps? May I ask you today, define your relationship in Christ. Do a little DTR yourself. Are you trusting it only for today, or are you trusting it for eternity? Because we too, just like Jesus put everything into the hands of the Father, we also are to put our lives into the hands of Christ. Define your relationship and recognize that the only way we can lift the cross is to die to self. And that's what Christ did. When you place something in a deposit for safekeeping, this is an illustration. This is Christ. We're to put our lives in there for safekeeping. And oftentimes what happens is that we're not trusting ourselves, we're trusting Him. Don't live your life simply for safekeeping, because it's not safe because of your trustworthiness, but because of His. And that's what He did on the cross. You join me in prayer?